Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. With me in the studio once again from America's Energy Forum, Algernon Cash, UNCW's Cameron School of Business, Dr. Craig Galbraith, and the North Carolina Coastal Federation's Mike Giles. If you have a question or a comment for any of our guests, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at CoastlineHQR. And we did have a caller on the line who we've got a few calls on the line now, but he's since gone. However, he raised the issue of fishing industry being benefited by oil rigs. Is that a thing? Is that a real thing, Algernon Cash?
Well, I'm sure my friends in the environmental community will disagree with me, but yes, we do think that is very real. I had the opportunity back in 2013 to host or was a part of the host team for the South Carolina Coastal Energy Summit. And we had people up from the Gulf Coast, including owners of fishing companies, commercial fishing companies in the Gulf. And we had this dialogue. And I actually heard it firsthand from them that they really like pulling up to the rigs, dropping their nets, because quite frankly, they pick up a lot of fish. So I think your caller is accurate. If you go down there and had a conversation in the Gulf, you'd find that the fishing industry is very responsive to the idea of rigs being out in the Gulf.
Mike Giles, what's the Coastal Federation's take on that point?
Well, we're talking about oil rigs. We're talking about structures. And the fishing industry can be benefited from structures in the ocean waters, of course. Does it have to be an oil rig and the hazards that oil rig brings? In the Gulf Coast, you're no longer allowed to eat a speckled trout in Galveston Bay because of PCBs and toxins that are in those fish. Women and children are warned not to eat fish from the Galveston Bay. The petrochemical industry is responsible for the dead zone in the Gulf Coast. But let's talk about North Carolina. Our coast generates over 51,000 jobs, our coastal economy generates over 51,000 jobs and generates nearly $2.2 billion in our gross national product. This is something, ask the fishermen that could not catch shrimp and oysters and shellfish and crabs in the Gulf Coast if oil rigs benefit commercial and recreational fishing. It can, but it doesn't have to be an oil rig. It could be an offshore structure that our state puts out into the waters to attract fish, not to produce oil. The National Academy of Science estimates that a single well produces between 1,500 and 2,000 tons of waste material that is leaked and deposited on the seafloor. It includes lead, cadmium, mercury, benzene, arsenic. And this isn't regulated. It's just dumped on the floor from the drilling operation. So, again, and what I heard Secretary Hopper say, that the governors have decided that they won't this off our coast. The governor has decided. I think it's up to the people to decide whether they want this heavy, hazardous industry on our critical coastal waters.
And speaking of the people, let's take a call. Albert from Raleigh, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
I just have a question for Mr. Giles or Giles.
Mike Giles,
regarding,
yes.
Seismic testing for wind. I've noticed that you do support wind energy.
The Coastal Federation, you're saying, supports offshore wind.
That's correct.
Yes.
I've also noticed that you've been warning people about the impact that seismic testing has for oil and gas. So what's your position on seismic testing for wind? Because you do have to shoot seismic to place a wind turbine in the water.
Mike Giles.
Our position on wind energy, our position on energy is we need to develop a multifaceted, comprehensive energy policy. And that's what I think this effort to have this five-year lease plan for our outer continental shelf is premature. Our government, our elected leaders need to look comprehensively and holistically and develop a energy policy. As far as the seismic testing for wind platforms, I believe it's different than for deep oil research.
It's not the same kind of seismic
Correct.
Testing. There, Algernon Cash, maybe you could speak to this. There are a couple of different kinds.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think your caller is correct. I mean, the bottom line is in order for us to have offshore wind production, we're going to have to do seismic testing either way you look at it. And I want to be clear here because I didn't state this earlier, but the America's Energy Forum, we support an all-of-the-above energy policy. We want wind. We want solar. We want geothermal. We want biomass. But the reality is, and my friends in the environmental community, they need to understand this, based on the way demand is growing for energy in our world, in decades to come, oil and gas will still be meeting around 80% of our baseload energy demand. Wind, solar, and other alternative sources will only be meeting 12%. And that's just real science and real facts. So we do have to have an all-of-the-above strategy and approach, but we don't need to forget that, quite frankly, a lot of consumers and a lot of companies are very reliant on oil and gas. And I want to go back and address something that Mr. Giles said a moment ago. He said that there was only a drop of oil or something along those lines in the Atlantic, and that's so far from the truth. Based on 30-year-old data, we believe that you can generate 1.3 million barrels a day out of the Atlantic. And right now, we're producing around 9 to 9.5 million barrels a day in the entire country. So that represents just under 20% of our actual domestic production on a daily basis. I think that's a little bit more of a drop, and we just need to be very honest with the American people. And we also need to be honest in this regard. It wasn't Governor McCrory who decided that he wanted this arbitrarily. 86% of the people support more oil and gas production, and they support it offshore. So we need to get away from this idea that it's some political figure that's making a decision. No, the American people want this, and it's the America's energy, and the American people should be able to have that choice.
Albert, thanks so much for your call. Susie from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thanks for having me. I have a question about the seismic testing for the effects on marine life, because out in California, it's been proven that whales and dolphins, for instance, they lose their hearing, and it's actually quite cruel, and sometimes it actually kills them. So how do you answer that when someone says...
That's a good question, Susie. What do we know right now about the effects of seismic testing on marine life?
Essentially, when I was looking at the issue of seismic testing, what I found is that there's really not a lot of scientific evidence one way or the other. Most of what you hear is mostly anecdotal and people talking about it. Now, again, I think it's very important that we disentangle or detach the idea of seismic testing, which is essentially to get an idea about what is out there. You know, as a conservative economist, I am a big fan of getting information. Having good information is absolutely critical. So I would probably support seismic testing with some very, very careful regulations to make sure that it doesn't affect the marine animal life. But I think we need to disentangle that from the idea of actually drilling offshores. Getting information is a different issue.
Well, before you go on, Dr. Craig Galbraith, the National Geographic published a report that says, and this is talking about the EIS, the Environmental mm-hmm. Impact Statement, produced by BOEM, regarding this, regarding seismic testing, said there would be minor to negligible impact to most wildlife, with the exception of marine mammals and turtles, for which impact could be moderate. And the review estimates that about 138,000 marine animals could be injured in some way, and perhaps 13.6 million could have their migration, feeding, or other behavioral patterns disrupted by the seismic surveys. So how are we weighing that? I mean, there would be some kind of impact, and it's just a question of what's acceptable to us.
Yeah, certainly whenever you do something out there in the environment, it's going to have an impact. And again, in the issue of seismic testing, again, most of the evidence is anecdotal. So when they came to that conclusion, that's based upon testimony and these sort of things. But there really aren't a lot of research studies out there that have actually been able to show one way or the other what the situation is. There are a few kind of casual studies, but there's not a lot of really good science one way or the other on seismic testing.
Okay.
And
Mike
that just
Giles.
Goes to show you there needs to be more science.
Yes.
There needs to be more research for before this seismic testing exploratory effort begins or is approved.
And we actually had another listener email and say the wind turbines also attract fish. They bury them in the ocean floor, and then they build up a support system around the base that also attracts fish. No gas drilling necessary or wanted wind. Let's take another call. Richard from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're not on the air. All right, that is a dial tone.
And if I may comment real quickly on the noise issue, I do want to get this across, too, that you know, when you go to construct these wind turbines, and BOEM has released this in their own statement, when you go to construct these wind turbines, there's a tremendous amount of noise that comes from the construction. So again, I mean, I think we got to have an honest conversation about whether it's wind or whether it's oil and gas. You are going to have some kind of an impact from it. There is going to be some kind of risk from it. We just need to have an honest dialogue about how to mitigate those effects to the environment. But there is no one perfect solution, and we need to make sure the listeners understand that.
And speaking of mitigation and safety measures and regulations, you were saying, Algernon Cash from America's Energy Forum, that you support strict regulations on this kind of industry. Can you cite specific safety measures that you would support or mitigation measures?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have specific measures I would go into on the air right now, but I would say to your point, again, yes, I do support good, strong regulations on the oil and gas industry. I support strong regulations on any industry that obviously can be considered a risky industry. And I think also, Rachel, your listeners need to understand the 9.8 million people who work in the oil and gas industry. They all live here on this planet with us. They breathe the same air as you do. They drink the same water that you do. They go to the same parks that you go to. The other 9.8 million people who work in the oil and gas industry also supports strong regulations so that we protect and preserve our environment.
Richard from Wilmington, I understand you got disconnected, but welcome back to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. If that's a question about from a risk standpoint, trying to compare the location of these proposed wells in relation to, we're going to make a comparison to the Gulf of Mexico or Prince William Sound, it just reasons the risk factor would be far less as far as an environmental disaster with the Gulf Stream and the proximity of the open ocean breaking down any potential spill. Would in fact the risk be far less?
Okay, Richard, you're very difficult to hear, so I'm going to repeat your question. It sounds like you're asking, compared to the BP spill in the Gulf, that the risk, if a spill happened here in the mid-Atlantic because of the Gulf Stream, would the risk be less than it would be in a different area? Is that your question?
Yes, and the proximity of the open ocean as opposed to the Gulf.
And because we're in the open ocean. Thanks so much for your call, Richard. Mike Giles.
The Gulf Stream is a unique geological feature, oceanic feature in the Atlantic, and it has effects worldwide. The risk, we believe, would be greater because of the currents, because of the fisheries that are associated with the Gulf Stream and the Labrador currents that occur off New England. We feel like that a oil spill in off our coast would be harder to control, harder to contain, harder to clean up because of the physiological effects of the Gulf Stream.
You're listening to Coastline. We have just a few minutes left in the show. We're talking about the potential for oil and gas exploration off the coast of North Carolina. We have Algernon Cash of America's Energy Forum with us, Dr. Craig Galbraith, professor at UNCW's Cameron School of Business, and Mike Giles of the North Carolina Coastal Federation. The phone number is 910-343-1138. And we have an email from Zachary Keith of the Sierra Club, and he's asking, what has happened since BP regarding safety? And Algernon Cash, we were talking about this a little earlier, but specifically.
Yeah, I think, again, the statement that Mr. Giles just made was more of an opinion, not scientific fact as it relates to the Gulf Stream, and I think that needs to be made clear. I think if you really want to look at the facts around how do we prevent the same thing that happened in the Gulf Coast from happening here off the North Carolina coast, I think you have to look at what industry and the government has done since then. One of the reasons that happened in the Gulf Coast is that well was improperly constructed. And then when the spill happened, the right type of equipment and technology wasn't available to contain the well, and that's why it continued to spew out hydrocarbons.
However, was it not available because we didn't have the technology
We had the technology, but the equipment was not located to be able to get there rapidly enough. So what the industry has done since then is they have went back and looked at measures on how to properly construct these wells, number one, so that we can prevent spills. They've also looked at how to make sure we have the right kind of well containment technology so that if a spill does occur, we can get the right equipment and the right technology on site very rapidly. There's now protocols in place to make sure that we have more of these pieces of equipment available around these different types of rigs. And then the biggest thing that they did is they created the Center for Offshore Safety to really start to study how to prevent this from happening again. again and how to really look hard at response capability.
When
and
you say they, who created the Center
for Offshore
Energy?
The industry created the Center for Offshore Energy. But then what the government did through the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, they've actually adopted guidelines now from the Center for Offshore Safety and implemented those guidelines in terms of improving the operations and process and so forth. So there's been a lot done, and I'll reiterate this one more time. Our current president, his own oil commission, oil spill commission, they said unequivocally, offshore energy production is safer today than it has ever been in history.
You're listening to Coastline. We have an email from Christine. She says, I walk on the beach every morning and have the dolphins and sea turtles. They're amazing sights to see. Nothing that would endanger that in any possible way is worth the risk. As far as economic impact, the tourist dollars would surely be impacted if any harm were to occur. And we have just a couple minutes left in the show. Dr. Craig Galbraith, final thoughts.
You know, speaking of economic impacts, everything we're talking about is a cost-benefit analysis. The benefit when we talk about offshore drilling is energy independence, energy security. We're already at that particular point. We're producing right now about 80% of our U.S. needs for energy domestically. Certainly, I think, as Mike mentioned, that we could cut back in terms of our demand for some of these issues. I'm not worried about energy security in the sense of creating more oil. The key thing is energy flexibility, you know, having a portfolio of different type of activities as well as decentralized decision making.
Mike Giles, quickly, final thought.
You know, again, like I said at the beginning, is the risk worth the reward? We feel like it's not. We don't think the reserves, the economics match up. It's not the time to do exploratory drilling off our coast because it's the thing to do now.
Algernon Cash.
Just final thoughts. I would encourage everybody to go to americasenergyforum.com. If you want reliable facts, not just opinions, you know, not platitudes, but if you want expert reliable facts, go to our website and we can get you some great information. And you can always email me directly, acash@americasenergyforum.com.
That's this edition of Coastline. Thanks so much to our guests. Thanks to you, our listeners, those of you who called and emailed. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, here on HQR News 91.3 FM. This is Coastline.